Hello everyone, I'm Gary Elwood with ProQuest Technologies and Senior Editor of the Real Estate Insider. Before we get going on our call today, a couple of quick things. If you're at your computer during this call, be sure to follow along on our live blog. There's a link on the page you're looking at that will open a separate browser window. That's where I'll be posting links to all kinds of free resources and examples. Dennis has been gracious enough to provide real-life samples of a number of things he's currently doing, his flyer format, sign format, how he posts on Craigslist, and even an example of his listing presentation, which has been absolutely amazing. In fact, in the last year, Dennis has a 100% close rate. Yes, he's turned down a few listings he didn't want, but every single listing he wanted, he closed. It's a phenomenal listing presentation that you can easily adopt and model in your own business starting today. And I'll be posting links to those samples, examples, and scripts on our live blog later in the call. If you don't have a link, just go to www.realpond.com/blog. That's www.realpond.com/blog and follow along. We won't be posting a lot early in the call, but later we'll have all kinds of examples of how Dennis is able to produce 100 to 200 leads a month for an average cost of only $100 to $200 a month. Again, it's absolutely outstanding. We'll also be talking a lot about lead conversion in this call as well, because it's not how many leads you generate that counts. It's how many you convert into clients that turn into relationships that lead to transactions that counts. So again, we'll be posting resources later in the call. If you don't have web access and you're listening in over the phone, email me at info@realpond.com after the call, and I'll make sure we email you links to all the samples and scripts so you can benefit from these free resources as well. Again, it's all free. Just shoot us an email, and we'll get those out to you as soon as possible. We're very fortunate to be joined today by Dennis Tarrant of Coldwell Banker First Ottawa. Dennis is relatively new to real estate with a little over 4 years' experience in the business. But what Dennis brings to this business and what he's done in a very short period of time is set the stage for amazing growth. The best part is what Dennis is doing can apply to any agent, north, south, east, or west, big market, small market, high-end market, average to low-end market. The principles and strategies and systems he uses are fundamental. In a short time, he's become a master of the fundamentals, and it's fundamentals that win the listings and close the sales. So have a pen and paper handy and be ready to take notes. Again, we're very fortunate to have Dennis with us today. Welcome to the call, Dennis.
Well, thanks very much for having me, Gary.
Glad to have you here. Let's start off by giving our listeners a little bit of background and kind of where you came from, how you got into real estate, why real estate, kind of give everybody an idea who you are.
Okay, well, sounds good. 4.5 years ago, I guess I got into the real estate business, as we call organized real estate, and my background comes at it from a self-employment. I've always been kind of self-employed since I left high school. I've run a number of businesses and had dozens and dozens of employees, and I guess about 4.5 years ago, I got involved in the real estate gig. I had a person that kind of kept on contacting me, inviting me. We sat down for coffees and so on and so forth, and they said, you know, based on what I know about you, based on what I hear, based on the way you seem like you're really, really a driven individual, that real estate would be really kind of an interesting career for you. And funny enough, that this particular person had mentioned this to me, and I had thought about real estate on a number of occasions while I was doing my other businesses, thinking, yeah, it seems interesting. And of course, we've all had our own personal experiences with our realtors, be them good or bad. And I thought, well, yeah, half the realtors that I've actually bumped into, I thought, well, if these people are still in it after all these years, I mean, it's got to be pretty, you know, pretty good business. So I got involved in it 4.5 years ago, and I only had one interview with a major broker here in the nation's capital in Ottawa here, and that was basically it. He kind of spoke to me in kind of the way my father would speak to me, and it was kind of, he didn't kind of sugarcoat it. He just basically said, you got to work hard. And I'm going, hoo-hoo, great thing. I've been doing that all my life. And so I got started in the real estate business, like I say, 4.5 years ago, and it's been a heck of a ride. I love it.
That's great. Let's talk a little bit about your previous experience. You mentioned before you were an entrepreneur in your own business. How long were you in your own business, and what type of business? Just to give, again, a little bit more background on kind of where you came from coming into real estate.
Yeah, prior to this, I ran a business called, it was an ice cream business called Scoops Ice Cream. It started in Mississauga and opened up another branch of it in Kingston, Ontario, and then another branch of it in Mississauga again, and we're basically a seasonal business, which were opened up right around Easter and closed at around Halloween, and you know, it was a summer business. Obviously, the ice cream business was obviously a good business when you had the decent weather, but it was, of course,
sure.
It was tough. I mean, it was, you know, when you own and operate it and you have, like I say, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 employees, mostly students, part-timers, it's a bit of a nightmare. I had fun the number of years, the first couple of years, but of course, being married to an elementary school teacher who was off all summer, our schedules began to collide. And she certainly wasn't interested in joining my business when she only had the 2 months off in the summertime, and I was beginning to lose interest thinking, okay, well, I'm not having fun anymore. I've learned an awful lot about business and organizational structure and what you do and what you don't do and how much you're responsible for. So I was certainly prepared for that. And prior to that, I you know, run a number of businesses from jewelry stores to gift shops to small little chemical companies. And again, always being self-employed. So my father gave me an opportunity early on in my life to basically work in the family businesses. And I took that opportunity rather than going to traditional schooling. So I guess I got my schooling in the school of hard knocks, as they would say. Yeah. And I've never looked back. I mean, it's been a heck of a ride. And now, you know, I'm in my 48th year, and I'm thinking, where'd the last 20 years go? So
fast forwarding to real estate, you started about 4.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you had some good experiences that sort of laid the groundwork for launching into real estate with a success-oriented mindset already. You'd had success
right.
in previous ventures. What was the initial entry into real estate like? What was your first year like, and what were some of the challenges you encountered during that first year, and how'd you sort of face those?
Well, I took the first year in real estate as I was so juiced, so excited. I just felt like a kid in the candy store, and I guess I kind of pinched myself a few times thinking, geez, I wish I, you know, the only regret I had was I wish I had done this sooner, because I'm thinking it was really a lot of fun. And I've always been what I feel is a good people person, so the real estate business is all about relationships and relationship marketing. So
Yes. When
I got into real estate, I took my opportunity in real estate right when I first got started, and gleaning a lot of helpful advice from my father, who's been kind of my personal mentor over my lifetime, and he's been a self-employed entrepreneur all of his life. So he basically told me right from the get-go, he said, treat it like a business. You know, you're a business owner, not an employee. And he said, take things serious, you know, about budgeting and red light, green light. And he said, learn as much as you possibly can, because there's lots of people that have probably gone on and made all the mistakes that you're going to make. And he said, make plenty of them. That's the only way you're going to learn. So I took the first year as really kind of a systematic, scaled-back approach of just watching, looking, listening. I was a fly on the wall. I asked lots of questions, and I looked at what some of the real, what I felt the producers were doing in the office and in our company and in our local marketplace to say, okay, well, what are they doing? How are they doing it? And I just wanted to be a student of the whole process. So I really kind of took my first year as that, because I didn't have, and I wasn't nervous, and I was just very receptive to, you know, steep learning, because I could take on as much information as I possibly wanted to, and I was eager to learn. So my first year was really, and it went by so fast. I mean, a flick of a finger, and the first year in real estate had gone by. So, and I was settling in very, very nicely. You know, it was a nice fit for me. And I could tell my spouse was giving me the receptive feedback too, kind of going, I can tell you like it. And I said, yeah, I love it. And I'm going to be here for the rest of my natural life in this business. And again, repeating myself, I wish I had done it sooner. So I got myself into a nice kind of a good start. But I wasn't, many realtors, and I've, you know, over the course of the 4.5 years in it, I hear a lot of things, and people are trying to achieve too much too fast, and then they underestimate what they can achieve in 4 or 5 years. This is not kind of a turnkey, instant gratification, make tons of money just because you're a realtor. This is no different than any other traditional business. You have to work it. You got to work hard, and you have to work smart, and I like to think that I do both.
It's interesting. You point out several things that seem to be the key principles that a good friend of mine, Bob Corcoran, teaches all of his clients, or really drums home the point with his clients, is it's a long-term perspective. His whole first objective with a client is to get them to shift from this short-term mentality of I've got to get deals done quickly to looking at their business as a CEO and pulling back from it. And you mentioned several things about how your father pointed out the treat it like a business, be frugal about your expenses and how you invest your resources and the things
mm-hmm.
that you're doing. So it seems like you were really well-prepared coming in, well-prepared from 20 years worth of the School of Hard Knocks plus some good mentoring sources. What would you say in that first couple of years, getting the momentum built up, were three or four of the real pivotal keys that you would say helped you establish the foundation to where you've gotten this business really rolling? I mean, you're on a very fast track at this point. Your business is exploding.
I think the first thing is attitude. I think you have to have a great attitude, and you know, attitude determines your altitude. And I don't say that smugly because I'm a student and a kind of a self-development, professional development, kind of self-improvement junkie. I love this stuff. My father said, in order to survive in today's world, you've got to eat good stuff for breakfast. And so I read a proficient amount of information. I attend functions. I'm a student of the process. I got really heavily involved in saying, if I'm going to be in this business, I have to be 150% involved in this business, and I have to be committed. So, and I think I get that from my dad too, because you know, you can always learn. If you learn one key thing from one event that you attend and apply that in a proactive way in your business, he said that's a gift. So I think more than anything else, it was just having a good attitude and going at this from a servant's heart perspective. I've always felt that, you know, if you give as the professionals have said, if you give everyone else what they need, then you get eventually what you want. So I've kind of come at this thing whole thing from a very, very kind of an organic foundation of serve the people, give them what they're looking for when they're looking for it, and then you'll be remunerated tenfold. And it seems to have kind of worked out that way for me too. I do things without even looking at how much you may or may not get paid, because I ultimately know that if you serve as many people as you can, that you'll ultimately get paid for. That's the universal law. And I've subscribed to the theories of abundance all my life, and they've come back to me. There's no scarcity at all in the world that we live in, certainly not in organized real estate. And it doesn't matter what market you're in, because it's about, you know, there's always going to be people that are moving. There's always going to be people that are going to be divorcing. There's always going to be people that are going to be expanding their families, losing their jobs, creating jobs. I mean, you just simply have to be upfront, and you have to be involved in their life. And if you are in a non-Me Too way, not in their face, but in their life, then you're the top of mind realtor that they think to go to, because they know that you care. And I think that's really kind of it. I hope that doesn't sound too cheesy, but I mean, it truly is.
No, it doesn't at all, Dennis. Actually, it's a common thread I find with all the successful agents that we interview. Is you've hit on something that's a key fundamental that agents really need to adopt. It's a little bit challenging at times for them out there, too. Sometimes when they're caught up in their day-to-day functioning of their business, getting things done and the need to close deals and bank commission checks, and if they're behind on bills and those different sort of things, make it rather challenging. But if they can disconnect from those things and put the prospect's needs or the client's needs first and get out of their own agenda,
right,
and get totally focused on the other person's agenda, because it is all about them. If you serve them at the highest level, ultimately those other things come back to reward you. And no, it doesn't sound cheesy at all. In fact, it's a key fundamental of success that really agents need to, even in the heat of the moment when it's challenging and they need to close deals and they need to get things moving because they're maybe behind the eight ball a little bit, mm-hmm. It's one of those things where they still, in spite of those things, they've got to disconnect from those things and focus entirely on the client's needs first, and that's something obviously you become very, very good at. Are there any particular, you mentioned your dad was a very strong mentoring source, are there any particular other sources that were sources of inspirations for you? Are there any particular books, any particular trainers, those types of things that other people may be able to tap into out there to kind of, again, train this mentality within themselves?
Yeah, and there are several. I'll key in on a couple of really kind of heavy hitters that I think have changed my life. And again, their stuff is not cutting edge. It's not brand new. It isn't like, oh, I'm looking for the magic pill. There is no magic pill.
Right.
The magic pill is an attitude.
Exactly.
And so Dale Carnegie, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, probably the most impactful book in my life, because it's just so fundamentally simple and yet so difficult, it seems, for so many people to follow. And it's kind of, you know, do unto others as you'd expect them to do unto you. So that's a good one. Napoleon Hill, of course, The Think and Grow Rich. And it's not about rich in terms of money. It's rich
right.
in terms of friends. It's rich in terms of relationships and so on and so forth. So I look at rich in a totally different way.
Sure.
Jim Rohn obviously just recently passed away. He
yeah.
was just an absolutely gifted individual who probably gave Tony Robbins his start way, way, way back.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Tony Robbins is a fantastic individual too, and I've attended many of his functions and walked on the coals and done that whole type of thing too. But again, at the end of the day, you've got to take from these functions, the Brian Tracy luncheons that I've been to, the Les Browns, You know, it's not how hard you get knocked down, it's how quickly you get back up. All these types of people, I mean, they're individuals who are obviously very gifted. I mean, Paul J. Meyer, founder of the Success Motivation Institute, who just also recently passed away almost within the same time frame as Jim Rohn.
Yeah.
He'll be dearly missed in the field of professional development. He was probably one of the originators. So I think it's just about surrounding yourself. And what I do now, because of technology and the world's change, is I don't have as much time to read, but I do go from appointment to appointment. I'm typically driving to that and driving from that. So I've converted most of this stuff to my iPod, and I don't listen to the radio. It doesn't pay me.
Right.
I don't watch television. It doesn't pay me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that I don't subscribe to television, because I wouldn't have a wife at home if I didn't have TV. However,
sure.
I don't get a whole lot of time, and I don't take a whole lot of pleasure in watching television and listening to radio. So I listen to things that give me the slight edge philosophies to help me improve my life, help me improve my family, my relationships, help me improve as an individual. So I do subscribe to the CANI, constant, never-ending improvement, and I get it from the professional development field because, you know, these people have done it. And I get a great amount of inspiration from that. And I get that probably from my dad, too, because my dad basically taught me early on, you know, people have already done everything you want to go out there and do, so go out there and learn from them. They'll be your teachers and your coaches and your mentors, you know, you'll get a tremendous amount of inspiration and ideas from them. So, yeah, I subscribe to those, the audiobooks and stuff of that, and it's great stuff.
You know, it's interesting. That's another common thread that I see with all the successful agents is they're very much the same way you are about absorbing the information. They're constant students of the business as well as the other side of it, the personal development side of it. When I was interviewing Lisa Bird, she was adamant about, I'd never watch the news. If there's something important that I need to know, someone will tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm focused on the things that make a difference in my life right here today.
Right.
And what you've done about turning your car, I like to call it the rolling university.
Totally.
And I think that's something I picked up from Jim Rohn, actually. I appreciate you mentioning Jim Rohn. He was a significant mentoring source for me,
mm-hmm.
too. I used to just listen to Jim Rohn back in the days of tapes, and I listened to him so much that I wore the tapes completely out to where they wouldn't even play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like if agents can just constantly be pursuing the bettering of themselves by listening to this type of information in their cars and utilizing those moments rather than wasting them with things that, like you say, don't pay them.
Right.
Let's shift gears just a little bit. The mental and emotional side of the business is one that's challenging for agents. They really need to focus in on those elements we just talked about. But then there's also the strategic and tactical side of the business. And one thing I've found is that when you have a few things that are working well within your business, it certainly helps that mental attitude. It's one of those things where it's a kind of a game of momentum at different times. If you can just get a few things in place that make your phone ring, that bring prospects through your door, because that's one of the things that's so challenging for most agents right now, is their phones simply aren't ringing like they were over the last few years. And if we can talk a little bit about some of the strategies and things you're doing within your business, because I know you're doing a terrific job of making the phone ring and doing it very, very economically. What would you say right now within your business? Let's start with the top three strategies you're using right now that are having the most impact for you.
Now, would that be in terms of, Gary, in lead generation?
Well, let's talk about it from an overall perspective. We'll get to lead generation. Lead generation is kind of the first part. It's like a three-step sequence, as I see it. You have to generate leads first, of course, otherwise you don't have a business. If the phone's not ringing, everything is at a dead calm and there's nothing
mm-hmm.
going on. So lead generation is number one, lead conversion is number two, and then, of course, the final point of building a business that generates critical mass where you're predominantly a referral-based business. That's where we want to see our clients take their businesses, is ultimately to a more of a referral-based business. I know that sounds kind of odd coming from someone who's in the lead generation business, but I see business more holistically than that. I want agents to build successful businesses,
right.
not just generate leads. And so, but let's talk about from wherever you want to take it, your top three strategies as you see it right now, where you're at and where you're going forward.
First and foremost is having a contact management, having software or having something that supports where you put all your information. So if you bump into someone at the park, or you bump into someone at the bank or at the coffee shop or whatever the case may be, you have to have some kind of a system, a solid system for effective follow-up. And you can't just do that with your brain, because our brain is inundated with way too much information. So we have to have some kind of a contact management piece. Now, if that's an old-fashioned Rolodex, so be it. That's better than nothing. If it's a daytimer, fine. But I think that this day and age, with the technologies that we have, so I subscribe to Top Producer. That's just one of the things. That's not certainly a plug for Top Producer, but when I first got started, I knew the value of having some kind of contact management software where I could basically have this funnel, this piece that everything goes through. There's effective follow-ups, there's dates, there's timestamps, because I just know that as this business begins to grow, there's simply no way to keep a mental map of it in your head. So I think having some kind of a time management or software piece, and then there's tons of them out there. Top Producer is certainly probably one of the leaders in the market.
Sure.
I think time management's another one, and that's, of course, kind of dovetails back to Top Producer. You know, I don't think we can manage time, but we can manage ourselves more effectively. And, again, that goes back to having some kind of a solid system for follow-up. I mean, I just open up Top Producer in the morning, and basically because of how I've fed the system, it tells me where are my key calls that have to come from today. For example, your ProQuest stuff. I mean, the lead generation stuff all gets fed into Top Producer automatically. I mean, how brilliant is that? I mean, you know, we come in the morning type of thing, and if there were calls into the system last night, because the beauty of the ProQuest system is that all the calls come in whenever the potential buyer or the person is driving by the signs or is on the web. It could be at 1 o'clock in the morning. So we come in the first thing in the morning. We could have a whole slew of new, brand-new leads that are sitting in our inbox right in Top Producer. Those are our priority calls.
Sure.
So if you didn't have systems like this, then no wonder agents are kind of sitting at their desk kind of going, having this cold shoulder to the phone. I mean, the phone is our best friend because we keep the phone ringing.
Yeah.
And all we simply have to do is be there and be in the moment. And I think one of the other ones is being able to delegate. My dad told me right from the very beginning, he said, Dennis, very quickly learn to let go some of the control, because he said you can't do it all. Focus on dollar income activities and delegate the rest. So I quickly learned to hire an assistant and bring somebody on board that could handle and manage even 15, 16, 20 hours a week that could take some of the pressure off of me, because most type A driven sales business owners don't like the admin side, the paperwork, all the little details. They know they're important. So I quickly learned to kind of bring somebody in that will take care of all that, so I can focus on the fundamentals, which, as you say, is, you know, how to take that lead, how to take that call, follow the call, convert it to an appointment, convert it to a piece of business, turn it into a relationship, turn it into referrals for life. So that's kind of what I do.
So first off, have a CRM, have contact management in place. Makes total
Absolutely.
Sense. It adds structure to your entire business from the get-go.
You can't grow without it.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, I'd have to say the majority of our clients are Top Producer users, and that's not a plug. Like you say, it's not
nope.
a plug for Top Producer. They just happen to be one of the larger CRMs out there
yep.
for real estate. We've seen a lot of agents using it quite effectively. Manage your time effectively. You mentioned something within this as you were going along. You say you're ready to be in the moment because we keep the phone ringing. Let's talk about that part of it, because it is kind of a three-step sequence. It's a
sure.
lead generate, lead convert, and then build the critical mass that turns into referrals. On that side of it, that's one of the challenging elements that agents have out there, is keeping their phone ringing. Let's talk about your top three things that you're doing to keep your phone ringing.
Number one, top of the list, is ProQuest. I mean, I found you guys by, again, doing some due diligence. It certainly wasn't because anyone in our office at the time when I joined real estate was using it.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I would spend waking hours. I mean, I don't need a whole lot of sleep, because I'm constantly looking for ideas and suggestions and so on and so forth. And I kind of found you guys on the web.
Okay.
And took a look at it, and I'm going like, geez, how brilliant is that? I've driven around, and I've been a consumer, too, on the other side of the fence before getting into real estate, and I just saw so few people using this particular product called ProQuest, sign writers, info flyer boxes, and I thought, how brilliant is that? People still, regardless of how much technology that we come into in this modern age, people are still driving by houses, mm-hmm. still looking at communities and how they make them feel and so on and so forth, and they're at the house and they're driving by and they're calling on their cell phone. So ProQuest was number one on our list. In fact, it's probably the number one thing that keeps our phone ringing. And it allows us the opportunity, because I look behind every single phone number there as an opportunity to build a relationship with somebody, because they've either got some kind of need, whether it's just early information now or if they're calling for a friend, whatever, then it's still an opportunity to build a relationship with a warm call. They've called you.
Let's back up a little bit and kind of flesh this out for listeners in case they're not familiar. I know we have a lot of clients on the call, but we also have non-clients on the call. Let's explain to them, and again, this isn't to plug our service.
No.
It's basically just to paint the picture of the strategies you're using to keep your phone ringing. To back up for a moment and explain how that approach works.
Well, I guess fundamentally normally every listed property has a for sale sign in the yard.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. You don't even have to have the words for sale on it, and I think 99% of the people know that you've got a house for sale as soon as they see the branded sign. And I've often looked at the branded sign thinking, well, that's great, but it's just an advertisement for the actual house, but it doesn't necessarily equate to making a phone ring, because most realtors will know that very few people will call for information off of that. But if you give people a reason to call, and if you stop them in their tracks and you give them this level of comfort that they can call in, you know, to a 24-hour hotline for more information. So, of course, all of our signs, all of our yard signs have the reflective tape. I know it costs a little bit more for the reflective tape, but the whole world doesn't work 9 to 5, and many people are coming home at night from work, so you want to find a way to capture that attention. We put a sign writer on every single listed property. And oftentimes we'll have even directional signs pointing to our listed properties, and we'll put a second sign writer on those in high-traffic locations. And people will call into the system, and they'll, of course, you know, leave, and they won't even leave a message. They'll just call in the system because they're looking for more information on that property.
Sure.
That
now,
call,
I'm going to go ahead and post a link to a sample of your sign writer so everyone can get a better idea of exactly what you're talking about. On the sign writer, what's the key to the sign writer and why it's effective?
I think the key is because it gives people basically what they feel is free access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, into an information hotline that gives them more information on the property they're looking at. And I think that's fundamentally just, it's a brilliant concept. I mean, give people what they want when they want it. Of course, it captures 100% of the phone numbers that come into the system. And, of course, you know, the good old-fashioned phone, I mean, and like I mentioned before, it automatically populates into top producers, so it shows up instantly. And if you were sitting at your desk and a call came into top producer, it activates your BlackBerries or whatever PDA you're using, so it comes in that way. So you've got a call, if you're even in the car and you're on the fly and you're going from appointment to appointment, you're notified within 20 seconds of an incoming call off of a listed property. And they could be calling in off of the listed property. They could be. I put the same link on all of our MLS pages, our you know, multiple listing service pages. Anywhere we advertise the properties on the web, we will put a dedicated extension at the end for every single listed property we have. So that way we can track where the calls are coming from, so we can determine the effectiveness of our advertising, which of course doesn't cost us anything because, I mean, you know, we're advertising our own MLS listings on the web and we just put the link in, and if the call comes off of the web, we get the call and we follow it, and it's a brilliant process. It just, and that's just the sign writers. In addition to the sign writers, we're using the info flyer boxes. So we'll print up little kind of one-pagers, which will give people, you know, pictures of the house, address of the house, et cetera, et cetera. It will also give a small little bio of the house, 3-bed, 2-bath, split-level ranch, whatever the case may be. And again, a 24-hour toll-free hotline to call in on. And people will call. And when they call, then, of course, the calls come into our call capture, come in through top producer. And then sometimes what's interesting is halfway through the call, the callers are given an opportunity to speak with the realtor directly. If they want the realtor on the phone, then our BlackBerries actually ring. And now we've got somebody who may be sitting in front of a listed property, and they've called us directly, and we're basically talking live to that potential interested party. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that in terms of, you know, seeing the people face-to-face or over the phone, whatever. Matter of fact, one just came in on my BlackBerry like 2 seconds ago, and I'm just sitting here on this call with you. And I'm thinking, you talk about how brilliant is that, and we've got one of our properties. And obviously this person's calling from home because I've got their first name and their last name. and now that call has actually been routed into our top producer database. So when I finish this call with you, I can follow up with that interested party on that listed property and follow it along and do what I'm trained to do.
Exactly. See, now, to give a little more context for our listeners, again, the sign writer basically says for free recorded information 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. The flyers in the flyer boxes say for free recorded information 24 hours a day. You mentioned something about the telephone, and I want to kind of illustrate this point a little bit more for our listeners. One of the things that so many agents are caught up in is chasing the new technology. I'm kind of a technology bug myself.
Right.
I love technology. I love the new cutting-edge stuff. It excites me. It gets me all jazzed up. But the one thing I really get even more excited about, actually, is growing a business and making money. It's not about the technology. It's actually about the end game and what the results are from it. And one of the things I want to point out about recorded info versus these other technologies is it's built on the backbone of the most important business tool in existence. It's the only business tool you simply could not live without, and business would screech to a halt without it, and that's the telephone.
Yeah.
The reason it's so effective and continues to remain so effective is because everyone has instant and immediate access 24 hours a day, anywhere, anytime, periods. It's the
right.
most universally accessible technology in existence. Any of the other technologies have certain windows of opportunity. The internet, they have to be sitting at their computer, or they can surf it over their mobile phones and things now too. But
right.
it's one of those things where, and texting, for example, texting's a huge rage. In fact, I love texting. I text a lot myself.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things you'll find if you statistically look at texting versus the actual telephone itself is it still only has about a 30% penetration, and actually about half the texting volume that's taking place is taking place between the 13 and 17-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a mass-adopted technology yet. It will be. Ultimately, it will be, but it's got a while before it reaches saturation at 100%. And the thing about it is when people are driving by a property,
mm-hmm.
do you want to exclude anyone from inquiring?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
When you focus on the texting side of it, you exclude about two-thirds of them. Statistically, if you layer the actual statistics over it, the 13 to 17-year-olds, you pull those out of the mix, and those who would actually use texting as a mechanism to respond, you're excluding more than two out of three of them driving by versus recorded info that they can directly call into via the cell phone and listen to a recording. You want to start with recorded info as the top of the funnel because everyone, anywhere, anytime, has instant and immediate access to it. So, again, back to the strategies you're using to tie this idea or these concepts together with these strategies together. You've got it on the sign writer. You've got it in the flyers and flyer boxes. What other sources are you using it in? What kind of results are you getting as far as the numbers? How many leads a month, that type of thing?
Well, we're actually the info flyers and the sign writers by far and away, because those are the ones that are actually generated locally right in front of the house. So by far and away, those are the market leaders for us. We're getting a good 75-80% of our calls will come in off of those two fundamentals. So you know the old story, Gary, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So we're not maybe necessarily looking for all kinds of creative ways to reinvent the wheel. We're not doing that. In fact, I followed kind of what the system that ProQuest laid out for us. It was so simple. It was 1, 2, 3. I did not reinvent the wheel. I don't do things like that. I figured that if someone's already invested the time and energy and money in that infrastructure, my job was to simply just do it in my marketplace as per plan. So I do that. But we also add, because we have so many ways, you know, the sign writer would be maybe extension 1, 2, 3, and then the marketing digit maybe number 5 for the sign writer, number 6 for the info flyer, number 7 for the websites. Then we put it on Craigslist. We'll put it on, you know, backpage.com. We'll put it on ottawaliving.ca. We'll put it anywhere we possibly can. All the social networking sites from Facebook to Twitter and all the rest of it, we put our branded message on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can track where those calls are coming from. Again, info flyer boxes and sign writers are the bulk of our calls, which is fine because we know that person that called has physically been in front of the property, which has got us already 90% of the way there because we don't have to tell them where it is. We don't have to tell them about the neighborhood. They've called us because there's enough interest in front of the listed property that they want more information. So I use that as like, that's golden for me. But we do put it in a variety of other ways. One of the things that we're doing that's recent are we do things in our local community. We've got a local bank, one of our large chartered banks, the Toronto Dominion Bank, has asked us to do these little small little personal meet and greet 2-hour what we call duty sessions. They're trying to build a network with the local community. So I go in with, we've got a my partner and I, we use a monthly newsletter from Service for Life, which we also think is a brilliant, brilliant tool. We've used it now for almost 4 years, and we put a one-page insert in that newsletter that we hand out to people just as they're coming into the bank. You know, we say, good morning, ma'am, good afternoon, sir, whatever, and we give them that Service for Life newsletter with the insert. The insert will have a little box of all of our listed properties that we have throughout the local marketplace. And because they also think, too, that isn't this interesting, because at one point maybe they're going to list their property, and they're looking at us as realtors to think, aren't they doing something very different and distinct and different from most realtors in the marketplace, where they're actually advertising the listed properties in their local bank, busy place. And so what we've done is the back page of that particular little insert that we put in there will feature the branch manager's name and contact information. Therefore, if any calls that come in off of that little that sheet, they can be routed directly to the branch manager's BlackBerry, and he or she can then route those calls if they're mortgage inquiries or if they're this or they're that. And if there's any real estate possibilities, they automatically get pinged back to me. So it's just kind of a unique partnership, which ProQuest has allowed us this opportunity to bridge between me, myself as the realtor, my business partner, and the local bank. So if we can do it at the local bank, we can do it at the local anywhere. You know, we can do it at the liquor stores, we can do it at the beer stores, we can do it at local restaurants. I mean,
I imagine there's probably better targets. Actually, I love the targets you've picked with the local bank, because there's so many, that the partnering relationship that you can develop there and the mutual benefits that you both receive out of it. And I just love the way you're tying together the Service for Life newsletter. In fact, I'm going to post a link here in just a moment to that Service for Life newsletter, so agents on the call can check that out as well. We've been recommending that for years as well. It's a very well put together newsletter that agents are able to send out to their sphere of influence and nurture your database in a very non-traditional kind of way. And I love the way Craig has put that together with just all sorts of informational items that are of interest to anyone and everyone. And then there's a small segment on real estate. Yep. One of the things I see in most of these real estate newsletters that sort of gets them tossed right in the garbage can real fast is that they're overemphasizing the real estate elements of the newsletter. They're not really designed around the relationship as much as they are about presenting real estate information. And it's really that whole idea of sending out a monthly newsletter to nurture the relationship and
Correct.
Keep the relationship intact and keep you top of mind awareness with your sphere of influence. And I think it's just a phenomenal tool. But I love the way you're using that in the bank and doing that type of thing right there. And plus, you've got that added advantage of meeting them face-to-face. There's no better environment to strike up a relationship than face-to-face. The phone's the next best thing, which, of course, we help you produce the calls that lead to those, ultimately to those appointments that get to the face-to-face. But you're actually going right out to them and meeting and greeting them and then getting them to call in afterwards. And I see the listing opportunities in that, walking through the door, exactly what you're saying. When they're looking at that flyer and they're seeing recorded information about your listings, if they've got a property that they're considering selling, what's the natural tendency? It's going to be they're going to pick up the phone, they're going to call for recorded info and go, I wonder how he's presenting these properties. And then, of course, when you call back, you follow up on that lead and you find out their prospective listing opportunity.
Bingo.
That opens up a whole new door. And let's actually talk about that, because I know you're doing some incredible things on the listing side of this with it as a listing tool. Like when you get that call for recorded info and you realize it's someone who has a home to sell, kind of take it from there. Kind of share with the agents how you would, if you got a seller on the phone who called for recorded info, like from one of those flyers that you handed out with your newsletter at the bank, how would that flow? And let's take our listeners through how you would proceed with that person.
Sure. Well, typically what I do is anyone that calls in off of the information hotlines, again, I look at every single caller as an opportunity to conduct business at some point. And even if it's just, and we've got people that'll say, oh, I'm years away and they're going, and I've got all the time and patience in the world to build a relationship with you at some point. If you're not working with a realtor currently, at some point you'll be working with a realtor, and I want to be that realtor, and I'm willing to earn that business. So we typically will take a phone call that comes into the system, try to return it as time sensitive as we possibly can. We certainly won't let it wait for days and days, because people will forget what they ate for breakfast this morning, much less, calling in off of a property a couple of days ago. So we try to follow up as quickly as possible. Not within 2 minutes, because they think they're on candid camera somewhere, so that's probably not a good idea. But typically within 15, 20 minutes, we'll try to call back, as long as they're calling in within reasonable business hours or you know, lifestyle hours.
Sure.
And, you know, the call just simply goes, you know, hi, it's Dennis Tarrant calling from Coble Bank or First Ottawa. I noticed a short while ago you called in one of our listed properties. I know you weren't expecting us to give you a call back. However, a couple of reasons why we wanted to call. One was we wanted to really genuinely thank you for your interest in that property. It's such a charming home. And number two, because we're so limited to 30 seconds or less, we really can't give you all the great features of that home. So with permission, would it be okay if I gave you some more information on the home? End of script. And it's always the same. It's always in a tone that's acceptable. You know, it's non-invasive, and most of the time, I mean, 99% of the time, we have receptive audiences on the other end of the phone. So I just want to tell realtors out there, don't be afraid of your phone. You know, think about it. Your phone is your best friend. Smile before you dial. Call these people back. Give them what they want and develop a relationship with them. So typically, many of these calls will be about that listed property, but the more qualifying questions that we can ask them to try to figure out and determine, do they have an immediate need? Is it a 30-day need, a 60-day need? A 90-day lead? Is it something, you know, down the road a ways? And I just suggest to them, you know, when would be a convenient time for us to get together and maybe discuss your real estate needs, you know, in more detail. And then they'll say, well, I'm not really sure. I say, well, if they're willing to invest 20 minutes with you in the office, then we can sit down and go over things. If they do then have a potential listing need, then we sit down and say, when would be a good time to visit you in your home to determine the value of your current home, and then away we go. So our listing presentation is typically done in two parts. If we have an opportunity to list someone's property, we'll go over first, do a real genuine kind of face-to-face, belly-to-belly meet and greet. We want to find out about their home. We want them to tell us about their home, about their neighborhood. They know it best. Tell us what they've done since they bought it 4 years ago or whatever. And then we go back and do the historical and do the statistical research, which I believe is the value proposition as well, because any good realtor can walk into a home within 10 or 15 minutes, figure out what it may or may not sell for. But I think they need to see that you're going back to do the research, and it's not just about, you know, pinning a number. And then when we go back to do our listing presentation, we introduce the ProQuest, because we'll do we've now seen the home. We'll set up a ProQuest recording, a 30-second recording, and one of the little kind of closers, it worked brilliantly every single time. We've lost so few listing presentations, is that we'll set up the recording with ProQuest, and we'll do the recording, and we'll tell them as we come up to this part in our listing presentation, we'll say, we'll set up the recording for your home. We'll say, here's the phone number. I say, grab your cell phone or whatever phone they happen to be closest to. We want you to call this number, and we get them engaged in the listing presentation. They call the number, they listen to the recording, and they're just shocked. You can see the body language change. You know, they're going, this is a recording of our house. You know, honey, come here. You've got to listen to this. And now they're both, I mean, we don't do any presentation unless we have the husband and wife or all the decision makers involved. Mm. And they'll listen to it, and usually 20 seconds later, my BlackBerry is already, you know, buzzing, mm-hmm. and I'll let them know. I'm going, is this your home telephone number, or is this your cell phone number? And they're just completely stunned. I'm going, our system is working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where most realtors won't receive 20 calls in a year on any of their yard signs. We receive literally hundreds of calls per month on this system. Now you can see why this system is working for your, you know, you're listing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the kind of exposure you're looking for, isn't it? And each and every time they kind of go, I love this, because they see that it's a connection, and the connection of real interest to their home, and that usually solidifies the listing right then and there.
Mm. Mm. Let's kind of recap a little bit of that so everybody gets the idea a little bit more deeply. When you go into the presentation, mm-hmm. you've set it up with a recording already pre-done. Mm-hmm. You basically present how the system works. You hand them the phone number and say, dial this number. They dial in. They're listening to a recording of their property, which, of course, catches them a little off guard and surprises them.
Yeah.
They kind of lean together sometimes. I've heard from other agents using it this way, too. The husband and wife will sometimes squeeze up to the phone together,
yeah,
listening to it, and they're very enthused about the whole process. Then, of course, the solidifying point of you've got their phone number and you turn it around and show it to them, the one they just dialed from. What's really cool is when you're in the presentation and you get somebody with an unlisted phone number,
mm-hmm.
and you turn it around and you show them their unlisted phone number, and then they go, wow, holy cow, you're capturing everybody's call. So let's take it a step further. I remember one time in one of the conversations we had, you were explaining how you actually then, once that lead comes in, you explain to them how you interact with the lead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll typically call the back. I think I kind of did this a little while ago there. But again, it's all in posturing and tone on the phone. I think it's so, so important because most people don't want to talk to realtors for the most part. And I think realtors have kind of done that to themselves. But I think at the end of the day, most people are looking for information, and our job is to simply be the facilitators and give them what they want. So, you know, they've already shown us that there's interest. They've called into the system. Our job is to simply call back and give them what they need, determine more information from them and what they need. And it's basically all in the actual tone of your voice and the posturing. So, again, the script is pretty much the same, and I'm happy to provide that script to you and your listeners as well because it's a script that we don't deviate from. We follow it to the letter. It's important that you kind of let them know.
In fact, what I'll do is I'll post a link to it here so that everyone can have access to that verbiage and exactly how you present it. But I like the way you bring it home in your listing presentation on top of what you've already presented to them. They're getting the full idea of how you're capturing leads 24 hours a day, how you're generating lots and lots of leads relative to other agents' marketing because it's so non-threatening and non-invasive that people respond. Recorded information takes away all sales resistance, so people pick up the phone and they call. And then when that call comes in, the natural question that a lot of realtors have, and of course you proactively address it with your listing prospect, is what do these people think when you call back? And it all depends on exactly what you said. It's the posturing. It's it's the tonality. It's the internalizing of the script so that it flows out naturally and comes off easily. But when you take that listing presentation and then you give them that script like you just gave earlier, where here's how we follow up on these leads, just so you know, when people call in on your property and they hear your recorded information, here's how we follow up. And hello, this is Dennis with Coldwell Banker. I know you weren't expecting me to call you back, but there's a couple quick reasons I wanted to call. First, I wanted to thank you for calling about this particular property. And the way that dialogue, and again, I'll post a link here to that script so that everyone can get that because it's phenomenal languaging that works incredibly well. I mean, how effective is this in a listing presentation, for example, Dennis? If you went out on 100 listing appointments, how many of them would you get?
98. And the other two I wouldn't want anyway.
That's so funny that you say that. And I know for listeners out there, a lot of them will go, okay, yeah, 100% close rate, you're saying. I know it sounds hard to believe, but it's actually true. I've had other agents as well. I had one fellow in Columbus, Ohio, claims to have not lost a listing that he wanted in 4 years. Because it's such a powerful, impactful presentation. Mm-hmm. You're showing very clearly how you have just a very clear competitive advantage over every other agent in your marketplace. Your marketing's working 24 hours a day, producing tons of calls, and their phones, frankly, are dead. I mean, that alone is enough for most of the listing prospects, but then when you stage it in such a way that you surprise them with the recording and you engage them in such a way, it's so far and above and beyond the typical realtor presentation going in. Even these newer realtor presentations with a lot of the interactive web stuff and different things like that, anymore people are kind of they're getting used to that stuff. It doesn't contain that wow factor that used to. Well, the one thing that's so engaging and creates such a wow factor in this is that you're physically involving them. They're listening to it. They're hearing it. Your BlackBerry's going off. You're handing it to them, showing them their phone number or their unlisted phone number in some cases. And it's like that whole impact is such a powerful, powerful thing. And the thing that I think is just so great about the way you've set up your business and the way you approach your marketing is you're very, very economical. You're producing leads very, very inexpensively. You're focusing on the primary drivers, which are sign writers, flyers, and flyer boxes. Plus, you've taken it into you're using it with your Service for Life newsletter. Love the handout strategy at the banks. That's phenomenal. You get that face-to-face meeting. That's just a phenomenal strategy. But all the strategies you're using are really very, very economical. How many leads a month are you generating with the system, would you say, on average? And what's your marketing budget to generate those leads?
Our marketing budget for all of this stuff involved inside of ProQuest right now, I don't think it's ever topped out over $100 a month. And I mean, I look at that and kind of go, like, if I put one little small little, like, 1-inch by 1-inch ad in our local newspaper, which I'd never do because newspapers don't work, but lots of agents still use them. If I were to run an ad in that paper, it's going to cost me $100, and it's going to create zero calls. So I look at this and say, we're able to use this, you know, very versatilely across all of our business. And, you know, it's costing us $100 a month, which we look at and say, that's not even a cost. That's an investment.
Yeah.
And we're generating probably about, oh, God, I would have to say anywhere from 125 to 200 calls per month. At this present time, and we're ramping that up, we're going to see this change and into going into probably anywhere from 200 to 400 calls a month. And obviously, you know, that's not something that one person can manage effectively by themselves.
Right.
But I mean, you know, let's face it, it's not a bad problem to have when you can't follow up on all the leads that you have. That's not a bad problem, because that's the number one problem that most realtors have. How do I make the phone ring?
Right. Exactly. I would suggest that for a single agent, 100 to 125 leads is kind of right in that sweet spot. Especially if they're consistent about time blocking and following up and everything like that. Once you get beyond that, it's one of those where you definitely need to set up the infrastructure for handling that kind of volume. But the thing that I think is so striking about what you're saying is you're basically generating anywhere from 100 to 200 leads, depending on the month and whatnot, for about 50 cents a lead.
Exactly.
And I think that's so hard for agents to comprehend out there and actually get. I see so many agents chasing after so many different marketing avenues that it becomes a challenging thing to try to convey the point that you don't have to spend a lot of money to generate leads. You can generate good quality leads from some of the things you currently have in place by simply applying these strategies to them and tying these ideas together with them. Signs can be very, very productive. Flyers and flyer boxes can be very, very productive. We have a phenomenal strategy for Craigslist. Craigslist is a free online ad source that can generate numerous leads every single month for agents if they just simply apply it correctly. The key is in the execution. It's how do you apply these ideas and do it right. We see so many agents fumbling around out there doing things in sort of a half-baked kind of way. And the other thing is they're chasing after the Internet so hard. The Internet is one that we find that agents tend to chase after extremely hard. And anymore, agents who have the idea that the Internet is free are sadly mistaken. It's actually extraordinarily expensive. To buy traffic in today's environment on the Internet is extremely expensive. We were talking to a gentleman just last week from the Seattle area. His cost per lead for someone who would register on his website with a name and email address was anywhere from $20 to $30 a lead when he considered all of his pay-per-click costs.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that, agents will say, well, I'll go organic. I'll do the SEO stuff. Well, if you consider the volume of time and energy you'll put into becoming an expert at SEO, you could be spending that following up on leads that would pay you, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 a transaction. The hours invested becoming an SEO expert are extremely expensive. Or you can hire it out, of course, but the SEO experts are extremely expensive as well. And these simple strategies are so drop dead easy and so inexpensive. The holdback for agents a lot of times are these simple things like, well, what do I say to folks? Where you've just got it dialed. I mean, you absolutely have it dialed. You know, when you call these prospects back, 99 times out of 100, they're just going to be, well, sure, tell me a little bit more about the property. Or they may not say, well, they may say, well, that one only has 3 bedrooms. We need a 4-bedroom home. Well, seems like an invitation to tell them about a 4-bedroom home, doesn't it? It's one of those kind of things. So the things that you've got going are very solid, very scalable, and you're at that place where you're ready to start adding more and more to this. I mean, you've done a phenomenal job of positioning your business for growth at this point. In what you've done over the first 4.5 years of your real estate career here, I realize you're relatively new in the business, but you're obviously very perceptive, have a lot of business experience. The School of Hard Knocks, like you said, 20 years of School of Hard Knocks teaches you a tremendous amount. In that, in looking over your last 4.5 years, if you were to go back and start it over, because now you've got a different vantage point, 4.5 years into it, you now, looking back on it, you probably could spot some things where if you wanted to speed things up or different things that you've done that maybe you would do differently, what would you say are two or three things that, not necessarily mistakes, but things that you, looking back, you would do differently to sort of ramp it up maybe at a quicker pace, or would you?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think what I'd like to do here is kind of say focus on the fundamentals. And I know that this, as I kind of, as we maybe even finish up this call, your last comment, if I can go back and kind of make a final little segue to that.
Sure.
A lot of agents, you know, just wish things were easy. You know, as Jim Rohn would say, don't wish things were easier. You can become more skilled. So what I'm going to do in terms of how I'm going to build and grow my business moving forward and learning from the past 4 years, and I don't even know so much if I could say learning from the mistakes. I don't think that they're mistakes.
Right.
They're just, you know, again, it's just, you know, you got to fail your way to the top, so to speak. And I have a very goal to achieve certain things in my business, be them benchmarks, be them dollar goals, be them positioning goals and, you know, in our market and so on and so forth. So I'm going to focus on the fundamentals. I'm going to drill down and become extremely, extremely good at the ProQuest system, and it's simply because it works. You know, we've done all kinds of different things in addition to, and you're absolutely right, Gary, the cost per leads on this web stuff and SEO, a lot of these people will overpromise and underdeliver. And so far, you guys have over-delivered and certainly undersold this thing. This thing is an absolute golden goose if people could only learn to become very, very skilled and gifted at doing something that they're already trained to do, is get on the phone and just keep it real, talk to lots of people every day, face-to-face, belly-to-belly, and just give them what they want. So I'm going to go back and be a better student of the process, learn from this, and actually take something that we've already got. And I think we're doing some great things with it. I think we can improve on what we're doing and become even better at it. So we want to become real kind of skilled tacticians at this whole call capture and call return time, and actually have a routine system for follow-up and accountability and all the rest, because this potential to turn this into business is so, so strong. So that's one of the things, I guess, fundamentally, is I'd like to do is just go back to the basics. One of the things that we talked about in the past as well is I think now I've identified perhaps the need for some professional coaching. I've always saw the need for coaching. I just couldn't justify it from an expense standpoint. But now we're at a point in our business where we're literally positioned for what I think is just explosive growth, because we have the fundamentals, we have the foundation, the base of operations already down, and now we just need someone that's very, very good at giving us, you know, direction and guidance and holding our hand as we go forth now and just knock this thing out of the park. So I think if anything now, I've really realized the need for a success coach, a real estate strategic coach. And my dad said it's kind of like having your assistant too. Your assistant will pay you dividends as much as you think you can't afford them. Mm-hmm. Just take the leap of faith, make the expense just part of your business, and they will buy you more time so you can focus on the dollar income activities that really get you excited anyway. He said salespeople or people like you in real estate, you need to focus on your sweet spot, and coaches will help you identify the sweet spot and make sure that you stay completely focused in that sweet spot. And the rest, just delegate and get someone else to look after it. So if anything now moving forward is professional coaching, and I think that's one of the next steps I'm going to take.
Yeah, and keep yourself in that sweet spot. You said something that's really, really important there. It's so easy for agents to get caught up in the spinning of too many plates. I love the way you early on have adopted this, bringing on an assistant and letting go of some things. It's a challenging thing for someone who hasn't done that before, or even if they have, justifying the expense in it, but that leap to do that frees you up to do so many things that are so much more dollar productive and so much more profitable to your business. In fact, to give you an idea, we've done some extensive tracking with Corcoran Coaching and Consulting. We've put together a report of over 1.9 million minutes of call capture leads and the return for per hour of follow-up. And it's absolutely amazing. The return per hour on that 1.9 million minutes of follow-up was an average of $1,898 per hour of follow-up. In fact, I'll post a link to that report so that agents can take a look at it. The takeaway for agents out there is this: focus in on the dollar productive activities. Really become highly focused and position those dollar productive activities at the front of the line instead of the back of the line. Far too often they wind up letting the prospecting slip in lieu of spinning other plates within the business. And the prospecting side of this, taking these leads that are coming in and converting them, are just, you know, that's the most dollar productive activity in your business. Listing, selling, prospecting, and negotiating. Those four things are the only things that really make you money in your business. And I think you're positioned phenomenally well to do those things. In closing, do you have any other nuggets you'd like to share with agents before we wrap up the call?
Well, I think it's more of a pay attention to your intention. I mean, you really, really have to ask yourself why you're doing what you're doing. And again, just going back to focusing on the fundamentals, become extremely gifted and skilled on a couple of really key things. And again, identify your sweet spot and then delegate the rest. You just got to have a lot of faith in doing that. I realize it's a bit of a kind of the big divide, can I or can't I? And I think you just need to give yourself permission to do that. And once you do, you'll feel so much better for doing it. So I think just go forth, do all the right things, do them for the right reasons. And don't focus on all the little details, because it's not in the details. You know, it's big picture thinking, and become very, very good at doing a couple of simple things. And I think you'll see that it'll pay off very handsomely for you down the road.
Dennis, thanks so much for taking the time today. I really do appreciate it. Well, that does it for our call today, everyone. Be sure to keep your eye out for our next teleseminar, which should be in the next 3 to 4 weeks here. And until then, we wish you the very best of success. Take care.